So Romans chapter 16, verses 16 through 20. The apostle writing says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen."
Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word with Pastor Brian Griffin. Walk in the Spirit is an outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we will all learn to walk in the Spirit.
Have you ever had your words come back to bite you? Right? I mean, who amongst us probably hasn't had an experience similar to that? We said something that we just expected, well, that's going to be the end of it. I'm talking to my friend, or I'm talking to my spouse even, talking to whoever, and that's going to be the end of the story. I can say whatever I want, and it's a protected word. I remember my wife and I had a horrible experience with this one time. I would like to tell you this has taught us the lesson entirely, but unfortunately, we are still flesh. But I remember one case in particular. We have some dear friends, Sean and Donald and Tim. And we gossiped. That's the best word I can come up with. Matter of fact, it's the most fitting word I can come up with. They had moved over to the Boise area with Mike and Shannon. Actually, they'd moved there first. And my best man at my wedding had moved over there with his wife. And they were all fellowshipping and stuff. And every time we'd go up to visit Jared and Heidi, my best man and his wife at that time, that they would expound to us, they'd gossip to us about all that was happening in the lives of Sean and Donna Lynn and Mike and Shannon. Now, the whole time we were listening to this gossip, we never once, unfortunately, really got the time to go talk to these things or to honestly take the time to go talk to them about the things that we are being told. So we just took it as a gospel truth as to what was happening in their lives. And we unfortunately, because we were young and dumb, well, actually because we were flesh and because, you know, who amongst us doesn't like to have that tidbit of, I know something, right? Would get home and we'd be talking to other people. And as we gossiped about them to other people, people we thought we could trust, right? Adults, people older than us, people who should be wiser than us. And I remember then one night we were sitting around the table and we had gotten a call from Sean and Donna Lynn. And they called us on the carpet about the words and the gossip that we'd been spreading about them. Rightly so, by the way. And I remember thinking, when the heck could they have possibly known that we had said anything? Well, we knew the source that we had shared with. So rather than going, and we did repent to them, don't get me wrong, but rather than sitting in there going, well, we were totally in the wrong, what'd we do? Well, the person we told was wrong. So we went over and talked to them and said, what are you doing? Well, I didn't talk to anybody about it, but so-and-so. Well, so-and-so just so happened to be very good friends with Donna Lynn's parents. And so-and-so called up Donna Lynn's parents and said, this is what's being said about your children. Now, I will tell you this. I praise God, Sean and Donna Lynn were wiser and more patient and more kind than we were. We are still great friends. They have forgiven us. But I learned a lot that night. I learned a lot that night. But the one thing I have to say I learned the most about was how divisive words can be. Because in an instant of stupid gossip, we had separated friends. We had made people who were brothers and sisters in Christ take camps. And that was sad. And that was sad. I remember that as I thought about how divisive those words were, I thank God for the maturity of Sean and Donna Lynn that they would later forgive us for those things. But I would have not held it against them if they would have cast us out of their life at that point. I really wouldn't have. Matter of fact, in all honesty, I can't say that I wouldn't have if I was in their shoes. We must guard our tongues. We must guard our tongues. This is one of the things the apostle is going to encourage us about here this morning, because we have to understand that our words can be words of edification or destruction or divisiveness. Those are the only two really areas that it falls into. And by the way, I'm talking about whether you're talking to the individual themselves or somebody else. If I'm talking to you about somebody else, and I am not lifting them up in a good light, I'm not edifying them, I'm not praising them for the good things that they are, what am I doing to you? I am putting you at odds with them, whether you realize it or not. Because the next time you're around that person, you're going to instantly have some opinion about that person based off of what I have shared with you. Now, we're going to get to that point in a moment. Our epistle is drawing to a close here to the church at Rome. Paul gives some instructions and a couple which are very poignant, and we'll get into those in a moment. And I mean, we do the same in our own conversations, don't we? When we're on the phone with somebody, or we're writing a letter to somebody or an email to somebody, we get towards the end, we start throwing everything in there, don't we? It's like all that stuff that we wasted time talking about the weather, we want to throw it all in at the end. Well, he does no different here. Paul begins in chapter 17 by thinking of those who are dear to him. He starts with these words in verses 1 through 16. He says, and I'm not going to read the entirety of these verses here. I just want to read verses 1 and 2. But this is what 1 through 16 is kind of talking about here. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. He goes on from that point, and we just read that list. He goes on to the greet so-and-so, salute so-and-so, greet so-and-so, salute so-and-so. Same word, by the way. It's just kind of saying it back and forth, right? But I love the way that Paul goes about encouraging the church and how they should be treating others. Do you see that in there? Now, we think this is just a simple, hey, say hi to them when you see them. But look at the word that he uses with Phoebe to begin with in particular. He says this. He says what? Commend her. Commend her. Now, this is a different idea, if you would. There's a different instruction here as opposed to the greet and salute, which simply means to like welcome and embrace each other. So what's the difference here? Well, simply put, the commendation that he's giving to her is saying, is in essence saying, she is of value. Receive her as you would me. That is the idea. She is of value. You need to receive her as you would me. And you see that because he even says what? Whatsoever business she has need of, assist her. Help her out. I love the idea that Paul commends this, right? In case you're curious as to what this idea of commending is, to put it forward, if you would, this idea of commending is one that's a little more familiar with, all right? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and I'm not going to make you turn there right now, but you'll remember these words. God, this is the same word being used here. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what's really carrying with there? It's carrying this idea of you should be prepared to do this even though you don't know. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He commended, he showed, or he proved his love to us before he even knew us. Well, before we knew him. He's God. But that's the idea of what he's saying about Phoebe here. Begin now in your hearts to put love in your hearts for Phoebe, because she is amazing. She is amazing. Before we even understood it, his son died for us. Now, why would Paul want to introduce Phoebe this way? Because he had desired that she should be welcomed to the church at Rome, even as he himself would be. I remember a moment in my own life in Christ when I got commended. And I have to say that this means a tremendous amount to me. It was one of the most blessed things I've experienced in my lifetime. I remember when Pastor Colin and Miss Leslie invited myself and Chandra to go with them to the pastor's fellowship here in Southeast Idaho. And I remember that when we got there, how Pastor Colin introduced me and how they really welcomed us in. He gave me a commendation to those other men of God as to being a character of God and a man of God, and I so value that. And I remember as the years went by, a year later or so, that this church and he licensed me to preach, and he gave me a commendation again at a pastor's fellowship when he said, we have licensed him to preach. If you need him as a pulpit fill or somebody to come preach for you, feel free to call Brian. I have to say that even though I had been teaching for 20 years. Well, not 20 years. It's 20 years now, or a little over 23 years now. But even though I've been teaching for, you know, give or take 15, 16 years by that point already, those words of commendation were invaluable to me. Because it was a man who I had a lot of respect for and who I loved saying, you can do this. You can do this. Now, all the other men said, just do it. But this man said, I know you can do it. I know you can do it enough that I'm going to tell other men that you can do it. Now, why do I say this? Because you might not know what kind of impact you might have on somebody's life if you're just willing to stand up with them and commend them to others. How often we take the time when we're speaking with our brothers and our sisters in Christ to speak highly of them with others, and how valuable they are to you and the church and the ministry. How valuable they are to your life. How often do we take the time to actually just share with people how much we find this person of worth, not only in our life, but to God? Or do we just go, oh, this is so-and-so I go to church with? I'm just as guilty of that, by the way, right? You're out in the community, you run into somebody, you're with somebody who doesn't come to church here necessarily, or you run into somebody while you're with somebody at church from church, you're like, oh, this is so-and-so, they go to my church. Right? Well, there's probably a reason why you're together. They obviously have some value to you. They obviously bring something to your life. Now, I don't want to beat this horse into the ground here this morning, but I do want to say this, that we as brothers, sisters in Christ should, as Paul, look at those in our life, look at our brothers and sisters in Christ in particular, find those of value and give them commendations to other people. We should go before them so that when they go out from us, they have the confidence that if nothing else, we stand behind them. We stand behind them. I remember a story of Genghis Khan. And Genghis Khan was meeting with another leader, a Chinese general. And he goes, do you really want to do this battle? Or do you want to surrender? This was Genghis Khan's words to this other general. Or do you want to surrender right now? And he goes, why should I surrender to you? And he said, I'll tell you why. And he called one of his soldiers in. And he said, I want you to kill yourself. And Genghis Khan's soldier took out his sword and thrust himself through and killed himself. Now, that sounds horrible, but what was the point? Genghis Khan looked at that general and he said, that's how much they stand behind me. You want to go to battle? They surrendered. Now, I'm not saying to stand up and kill yourself to show how much you are behind somebody, but I am telling you that we should be able to go out as brothers, sisters in Christ with the full confidence that we stand behind each other, even in our mistakes. Even in our mistakes. Why? Because we understand the grace of God. We understand the grace of God. Paul goes on through verse 16, and he just basically says these ideas all the way up to verse 16. He just goes on and says, greet, welcome, and he lists everybody he can there, everybody who keeps popping in his mind, and we've all been there before, right? You're in your prayer time, and you start praying for somebody, and that reminds you of somebody else, and that reminds you of somebody else, and that reminds you of somebody else, and pretty soon you just got this whole long list of people you just prayed for, which is not a bad thing, by the way. And we do that. Well, then he gets to this point, though. And he closes that, and he says, finally he gets to, okay, I'm going on too far in verse 15. He says, at the end there, he says, and all the saints which are with them. So let's just throw everybody else in there in case I forgot somebody, right? I don't want anybody to feel left out. But then he says this interesting words to us in verse 16. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The church of the Christ salute you. Now, that salute just means simply, in all honesty, like it had everything before there, to welcome and to embrace. Now, don't get nervous if you're part of our greeting ministry. I'm not asking you to kiss people when they show up here. All right? That is not the goal here. But the point is this, is, and you guys know that I give this commendation to this church all the time. They should come here and feel the love of Christ. Right? If there's one thing that we want people to feel, aside from obviously, we want them to hear the Word of God and be convicted by the Word of God and change their lives because of the Word of God. But if there's one thing that we want people who come and visit our church to feel, it's the love of Christ. And that's the point. And that's why he says, salute one another with a holy kiss. You know what kissing does? Now, when I say that, don't get me wrong, I'm not like talking about like a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a wife and husband kind of situation, right? But I've gotten kissed on the cheek from men who really have no relation to me whatsoever, right? And you know what it did? It broke down barriers very quickly, right? I mean, it did. All of a sudden, I was just like, okay, right? And you know, the point of the matter is this, is if we embrace people with love, it breaks down barriers, doesn't it? Now, you guys know I'm a huggy person. That's what I do, right? I love standing at the back door here and hugging everybody who will let me hug them when they go out the way. Now, I don't hug you because I'm like going, I want to touch. I'm just that kind of person, okay? It just makes me feel like embraced by you guys, and I love embracing you, okay? But So I would say if I was writing this, I would have said hug one another with a holy hug or something. I don't know. But anyway, but the point of the matter is this, is when we show that love and we embrace each other that way, it breaks down barriers. Somebody comes in here to visit us, whether they're coming from another church or they're coming here as an unbeliever, they come here with an expectation of being greeted rudely. Do you understand that? To be treated coldly. That's what people expect. When you go visiting churches, and all of us have probably at one point or another have gone and visited churches, right? We walk into that church kind of like, they don't like me, right? They don't know me, they don't like me, they think I'm weird, right? And they don't even know me yet. But the point of the matter is, if we're embraced with love, we're what? Immediately like, oh, all right, I can do this. And we have a little bit of confidence, right? And that's the idea. Do we greet each other with love? Is the first thought that you have when you run into your brother or sister in Christ, give it on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, or just out in the community throughout the week, do you just feel that love from them? Because that's what we should be feeling. Now, I'm not saying you have to run up to me if you see me in the store and give me a hug. I wouldn't be offended if you did, okay? But do you ever just go, oh, they're so-and-so, and turn down the other aisle, right? I don't want to run into that person, right? I made the mistake for a long time. I used to get really upset with my wife because we'd stop at Walmart and I'd send her in. 4 hours later, she would emerge. And I'd be like, what the heck happened in there? And she's like, well, I ran into so-and-so, and then so-and-so bumped into us, and so-and-so. And I'm like, going, I missed out on this great time of fellowship in Walmart because I didn't go in. So now I go into Walmart, so. And I used to think it was a time warp in there, and I still think it is, but I think it's because everybody else is there. So this is really what, in all honesty, the apostle is trying to encourage us with this idea of a holy kiss, though. Understand that was a natural greeting at their time. They would kiss one another on the cheek, and they would welcome each other that way. And the point of the matter was is they wanted that person to feel welcome. All right? You wanted that person to feel like they were belonged to this person, belonged to a body of believers, if you would. Let's look at a couple of verses with me, if you would, to kind of put this point to rest about the greeting and how we should be greeting one another. Turn with me first to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Excuse me. We all know this one. We quote it all the time. I share it with you all the time, right? John chapter 13, pick it up at verse 34, and we'll read verse 34 and 35 together. The Lord Jesus speaking to us says these words. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Right? I love that statement. What he's saying there is you should be loving each other. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. One of the things that I will force upon my wife, and she'll force upon me when we're in the midst of one of those high-volume, low-value discussions, is we will one of us will finally just take the other person and embrace them and hug them. And that just breaks it down right there, doesn't it? Because why? Because we're saying, you know what? I know we're having a struggle right now. I know we're having a difficulty right now. And we hug them, and it just breaks that down. And it's like, okay, let's calm down, let's hug, let's love this out, so to speak, right? And you do that, and all of a sudden you're on a new plane, and you're able to actually rationally look at things, right? Like, for example, we were having an argument a couple weeks ago, and my wife came to bed. Well, actually, she didn't come to bed. She went and sat down on the couch, or my black chair more in particular. Anyway, that's okay. I let her, all right? But she went and sat down on my chair, and when we'd all gone to bed and stuff, I'm laying in the bed, and I'm reading, and all of a sudden I realized that it's been a while. I haven't heard any noise, and she's not around. So I send her a text, right? Well, I was on my phone anyway, reading the Bible. I know that sounds weird, but I was. And so I was on my, I'll just shoot her a text. Where are you at? Right? Because I knew that she was a little bit miffed at me before bedtime. And so I thought, okay, where are you at? Right? And she says, in the living room, as if you care. And I'm like, why? If you don't know why, I'm not telling you. Don't you love that one, gentlemen? Right? So I walked out to the living room. I started to talk to her. I'm like, what's going on? And she gave me all her reasoning as to why I was so horrible, and I agreed with her. And I said, can we go to bed now? And she's like, you just want me in the bed so you don't feel guilty. Like, honestly, it wouldn't bother me too much. I mean, you're the one with the backache in the morning. I'm just teasing. It would have bothered me. But nonetheless, you know, I'm like, well, the Lord says we're not supposed to let wrath go down, the sun go down on our wrath. Let's get this thing figured out. So we talked, right? One of the things that made her happy was when she got to look at me as we were getting into bed, and she goes, because she'd realized kind of how, and I'm not making fun of my wife, do not get me wrong, I mean, we all do these things, but she'd realized how she'd kind of taken a little thing and made it a really big thing. And rather than saying I'd taken a little thing and made it a really big thing, she said to me, I'm a little wrong. You're a lot wrong. And I'm a little cute, but you're not cute at all. Now, I tell you that because the point of the matter is this, is what? That all men should know that we're his disciples by our love for one another. And let me ask you, do you carry that into your household? If somebody was to walk into our household at that moment, would they have felt like we were the disciples of Christ? And now, I'm not trying to say, make us all feel guilty for our arguments and things of that nature, and children, for when you misbehave and disobey your parents and you get all argumentative with them. I'm not trying to make you feel bad about that. But the truth of the matter is, there's only one distinguishing mark of a disciple of Christ. Do you understand that? Nobody can see the Holy Spirit in me, at least I don't think. I don't know. Nobody's ever told me they could, so I'm assuming they can't. Right? But the point of the matter is this, is they can see the Holy Spirit working through me. They can see the love of the Spirit coming from me. And that's what he says. That's the one distinguishing mark that we're going to have in our lives is the love of Christ. Is that the same in your household? Right? Another idea of this comes from Romans chapter 12. While you're turning back to Romans chapter 16, if you want to stop there, you can, but I'm going to read this to you. Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. It says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor what that is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Be kind and affectionate one to another, preferring one another. In other words, desiring better for that person than you do for yourself. I'm just going to put that in layman's terms for you. But how can we be kindly and affectionate one to another? Well, he continues to answer that from verse 10 through verse 14. He says these words, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Look at that instruction for being kindly and affectionate. He says what there? He says that we prefer one another, and we do this by showing it through our actions. We're not going to be slothful or lazy towards each other. If we're going to do something, we're going to do it. We're going to be fervent in our spirit. We're going to serve the Lord, or we're going to rejoice in hope with them. We're going to be patient in our tribulations with them. We're going to bless them. Even if they're persecuting us, we're going to bless them and curse them not. But then when he says there, he says what? He says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave that which is good. Abhor, meaning to utterly detest. It carries with the idea of if you put something that just tastes so nasty in your mouth that you spit it right out. Okay, that's the idea, it's carrying it with you. If it's so, it just comes in, it's just so nasty and bitter, you can't even hold it in your mouth, right? And you spit it right out. That's what that detest, that abhor, really kind of carries with the connotation of it with. It just means to just get it out of you, get it away. Abhor that which is evil. And cleave, to join together like glue, that which is good. That which is good. You're back in Romans chapter 16 now. And I think that puts to rest the idea of how we're supposed to treat one another with love, mercy, kindness. We should be preferring one another. We should be taking care of each other. We should be embracing one another. We should be feeling the love of Christ from one another. And I won't lie to you guys before I close this point. There are some that are much easier to love than others. Right? Let's just be honest. There are some that are much easier to love than others. One thing I have learned about my relationship, not only with my Lord, but with everybody in my life, I can only have as much relationship with them as they'll let me have. It doesn't mean I'm not going to treat them kindly and affectionate when I'm around them, but if they don't want to receive that, that's not my problem. My heart stands clean before the Lord. I don't want to say I don't care about their heart. I do. I pray for their heart. But it doesn't make a difference to me. I'm doing what I have to do, whether they do it or not. And we should be that way one with another. But unfortunately, many of our relationships are based upon a reciprocation, aren't they? Is that person going to give it back to me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loved them all, whether they give it back or not. Moving on now in our text. Verse 17, he says these words to us now. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." I'm going to pause there. So here he comes off of the idea of embracing one another, loving one another. But then he says this, he gives us a warning here. He says, "But I beseech you, brethren, mark them." Right? Pay attention to those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. What doctrine would that be? Simply loving one another, having grace towards one another, preferring one another. Mark them and avoid them. Now that doesn't sound like I'm loving that person if I'm avoiding that person, does it? But on the other hand, again, I don't have to force myself upon somebody who wants for a relationship, you know. But I'm going to have that whenever they're around, okay? But I'm not going to sit there and welcome them in with open arms. Somebody who that threatens to destroy my home, I'm not going to welcome them into my home and go ahead, destroy it, have fun, right? I'm not going to do that. But the point of the matter is, it doesn't mean I don't love that person, all right? And I'm going to get serious with you guys for a moment here, and I may get backlash for this one. That's okay. All right? There were mistakes to be made, but you guys know I have an older sister, and we don't have really any communication at all with each other. She lives across the country, and that's a good thing. All right? And I say that honestly because she's out there figuring out her way, and I'm out here getting my way figured out. All right? And I pray one day that we have a reconciled relationship. I won't lie to you. But the truth of the matter is, one of the last experiences I had with my sister, she threatened to call Child Protection Services on me for my son. That's a danger, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying that she didn't, that what she was experiencing, emotions that she was dealing with at that moment, didn't make her think that she might need to do that. And I'm not getting the whole details of everything that led up to that moment, but I'm going to tell you this, that the truth of the matter was, she didn't, and had she, I would have been okay. It would have been with the tribes, and we were foster parents. We dealt with those people all the time. It wasn't a big deal. Okay, I wasn't worried about that. But the truth of the matter was, is that that meant that she now was what? Somebody who was trying to cause division in my home. She was trying to get somebody else in there who would actually take my child away. And that always means that she is not welcome. And I avoid her. Now, do I love her? Absolutely. Do I grieve over the loss of that relation? All the time. But I'm not going to welcome her back in. There needs to be some restoration and repentance done before I do. Because she's divisive. Now, Paul's talking to us about the church here, right? He says, mark them that cause divisions. The idea of marking somebody, I won't lie, is something I struggle with for some time. Because we're instructed and we all desire to live at peace with everyone, don't we? But there are some that we just simply can't live at peace with. Have you ever heard the term miss the mark? Right? That's the idea here, that there's a center, there's a mark that they should be shooting for, that they should be aiming for, that we all should be aiming for, but there are some who aren't aiming for that same mark. There are some people who will come into this church someday, and God forbid we don't have them necessarily here right now, but there are some people who will come into this church someday who are not after the same goal of what you and I are, which is to grow together in the love of Jesus Christ, to grow together in a bond and become a family. They're going to come in here desiring to cause division, to put a split, a gap right down the middle. If not, you know, maybe one-third to two-thirds or something like that. But that's what their goal is. And you kind of see some of these people. Why? Because they start to whisper and backbite against somebody. And they start to talk about people behind their backs. You see them off in the corner on their own when you're out at an event, and they're like gathering people around there and whispering. Now, I'm not saying just having a conversation. You guys know the difference, right? You can always see those conspirators. Right, the ones who are over there, and they're always looking at the other people like, can you believe? Right? Well, those are the divisive people. Those are the people who are trying to put a split and a gap in the body of Christ. And he says, mark them and avoid them. And I want you to understand how much the Lord despises a divisive heart. Turn to me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Almost said 16, we would have been in the wrong place. Proverbs chapter 6, picking up at verse 12. Proverbs chapter 6, the Lord despises a divisive heart, and I want you to hear this. Verse 16, or verse 12, he says these words. He says, a naughty person, this is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eye, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, and divisive, to me, in his heart, he devises mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, and suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Now that right there, I'm going to pause there for a second before I go on past this point. Notice what he says there. This is the wicked person does what? Sows discord. And that person who is sowing discord, meaning sowing division, making the body of Christ divisive, needs to be careful. Because the Lord says right there that suddenly the calamity will come upon them. It's not like it's going to be this, they're going to get away with it for so long and they're going to think, oh, it's okay, everything's good, I'm not going to worry about it. And then all of a sudden, bam, their life is in shambles. And they're like, what happened? It's right there. They will be broken without remedy. And that's a scary thought. And then in verse 16 he says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Look at that list of people, that those who sow discord, those who are divisive, those who are whisperers and backbiters are listed amongst. Those who would kill innocent people. Those who are swift to run to mischief. Those who are liars. Those who are proud lookers. And he says they are what? An abomination unto God. An abomination unto God. An abomination. The idea of sowing discord is an interesting one. What is the biggest way that most of us sow discord? I already touched on this a little bit this morning. It's with our tongue. Right? I mean, in all honesty, let's be honest. Some guy walks into our church this morning. He's like, I'm here to save you all. Everybody who actually thinks, you know, you should come with me because I have all the truth, come. Maybe one of us might get up because we have to go to the bathroom. All right? But the truth of the matter is that most of us are going to sit right here and go, who are you? Why would I ever do that? But the truth of the matter is the one who's going to be divisive, the one who's going to be successful at these ideas is the one who's going to come in and whisper behind everybody's back. Gossip behind everybody's back. And if there's one lesson I learned in that experience I had with our friends Sean and Donna Lynn, it was this. Don't get me wrong, people will gossip all the time around you, right? Okay? But I don't take it for gospel. I don't say, hey, you know what? That's truth. That's what it is. That must be what it is. You know what I'll do if I hear something that's really discerning to me, disconcerting to me? I will go and talk to that person. Hey, I heard this. Is this true? No, who would have told you that? It doesn't matter. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't, because if it was, we need to deal with that. We need to work through that. You need help. But I'm glad to hear it's not. And then I'll go back to that person who told me that, and I'll say, you know what? I went and had a conversation with that person, and they were not thinking that at all. Sometimes I'll be bold enough to just look at that person who's gossiping and say, have you talked to them? When was the last time you had a conversation with that person to find out if that's what their heart was? When was the last time you talked to a person to figure out if that's who they really were? Or are you just going off your own what, as it says there in that list from Proverbs? Wicked imaginations. Are you just assuming that must be what it is? And we all know what assume means, right? We learned that since we were kids. James chapter 4, verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil to the law and judges the law. But if thou be a judge of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. We aren't to be speaking evil of each other. Matter of fact, we should be edifying one another. And I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes it's tough to find that, isn't there? Right? I mean, it's much easier to find the bad things about people than the good things. I mean, it absolutely is. All right? I mean, can you believe that she wore that? Can you believe he said that? Right? It's much easier to find the wicked things about people than it is to find the good things about people. But those are the ones we're looking for. And those are the ones we're going to speak about. So if somebody comes to talk to you about the nastiest person you know, you can say something as simple as, yeah, but they have nice hair. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a ridiculous notion, I know, right? But the point of the matter is that. Are you going to enter into that with them? Are you going to become a sower of discord? Or are you going to be like, you know what? No. But there's one thing I know about that person. They smell good, right? I mean, I don't care what it is, but find that. And hopefully it's not something as simple as smelling good. Listen to some of the words of our Lord about gossip. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. As you're on your way there, Romans chapter 1. Psalm 101:5 says these words to us about our gossips, those who actually devise using their tongues. Psalm 101:5 says these words to us. And while I know you're going to Romans chapter 1. I'll be there in just a minute. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor. That means whoever slanders his neighbor in private, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. Boy, that sounds dangerous, doesn't it? Did you guys hear that? Whoever wants to slander people privately behind their back, I will cut off. By the way, that's the krat in the Hebrew. Same one used when it spoke of our Lord being killed. Just an idea. And then it says, I will cut him off. And then it says, in him that hath a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. You know what I find interesting? Slander, gossip, divisiveness, always is accompanied with pride. You guys notice that? I know better. I am better. It's always accompanied with pride. And you know those people who come in with that proud look, right? Nose up just a little bit, sometimes all the way up, which I don't know how the heck they can walk without tripping, right? But that nose up just a little bit, looking down on you like, you know what? I have to tolerate you again. But the sad part about it is not my danger when they're looking that way. And that's the thing that scares me about that, is if somebody's looking down on you that way and they're all proud and high looking and they think a lot of themselves, you know, I'm not worried about me in that situation. I'm worried about them. The Lord's the one who says, what? I will cut them off. They're an abomination to him. Romans chapter 1, where you're at. Look at verse 28 through 32 with me, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verses 21 through 32. 28 through 32, excuse me. 28 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Let's look at some of these things that are listed here. Now, we know this comes on the heels, right, of speaking about the men lusting after men and women after women. But look at some of the other things that are put in this list here that come right after he says this. Turns them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, and disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Right? Wow, that's a great, great list. It's an amazing list, right? Okay, now look at some of the things that are in there. What? Deceit, or divisive myth, is the way we say that sometimes, right? They're deceptive, and they divide. And they're backbiters, or haters of God, and they're proud. And look what it actually says, and this is the part I take note of in this verse, in this passage in particular, is verse 32, where he says this, that they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So let me give you a warning here. Someone comes into the body and they're being divisive, and you take pleasure in that divisiveness, you fall into that category of that list. That is a scary place to find yourself, my friends. There is one thing I learned early on as a Christian, and it was that God hates a divisive heart. And I know this is not the only church I've been at, and I know it's not the only church many of you have been at. But I can honestly tell you this, and I say this with a clear conscience, I never left the church and asked anybody to go with me. Now, there were times when, I know that there were people who would follow because they felt the same way, and that's fine. But I made that decision based off of myself and my household, not off of them. And I never tried to get anybody to follow after me and go after me and look at this is wrong. We need to go over here. We need to do this. This person, I never did that. Even with ministries that I thought were an abomination to God, those who I thought were honestly slandering the name of Christ, I never tried to divide that body. I never wanted to be accused of that. Never. I know what the Lord has for those people. I know what the Lord says about those people. So I'm going to close with this thought here. Discord among the brethren is not the Lord's desire, and those who would dare to do such things are listed among the ones the Lord considers an abomination. So if you have a problem with someone, what do? Pray. Talk to them. One of the things that many of us will do is complain about them to others, and that sows discord. Even in your own home. I ran into this experience one time when I felt my son all of a sudden was upset and didn't like somebody because he heard me talking so negatively about somebody so often. Did you know that? My own son was swayed to not like that person who he had formerly had not an issue with once he heard me talking so negatively about them. And you know what I did there? Sowed discord. My son doesn't have a relationship with that person anymore. Actually, my son doesn't even want to be around that person anymore. And I'm working on that because I was wrong in that. But my son's like, is so-and-so coming? Is so-and-so going to be? I don't want to be there then. Why? And honestly, when I hear him speak back to me as to why he doesn't want to be there, he's repeating most of my own words. The last verse I want to look into concerning this idea of sowing discord comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then we'll move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then we'll bring our morning to a close here in a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Read these words with me. God is faithful, by whom you are called. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. You see that there? He desires not division ever in a body. He wants us to be perfectly fit together. I firmly believe with all my heart that the Lord brings, I know he takes some out, don't get me wrong, but he brings the body together so we can be fit together. But can you imagine if all of a sudden my eye started to rebel? I'm wanting to go this way, but my eye's like, no, we're going that way. and started to try to convince my body to follow it, we would think that'd be a silly notion, wouldn't we? Matter of fact, I remember a Steve Martin skit where he kind of had that idea where he had a split personality and he had half his body wanting to go one way and the other half of the other body going the other way, and he kind of bounced back and forth across the stage trying to get the two to come to a reconciliation because he's like, no, we got to go over here. And the body's like, no, I want to go over there. You know, and he's like dragging himself off. We would think that would be stupid if somebody said, oh, I can't get my body to agree. Right? But isn't that what happens when we start to have discord amongst the brethren? We can't get our body to agree. I want to share this thought from A.W. Tozer out of his book, The Pursuit of God. He says these words, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, can each one looking away to Christ are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be. Where they become unity in conscience and turn their eyes away from God to strive to closer fellowship. So in other words, the point of the matter is this. He's saying that if we all focus on Christ, we will be unified. But if we focus on each other, we won't. And that's the point. I don't care if you're focusing on yourself or somebody else. You won't be unified. But if you focus on Christ, He can bring us to unity. What would that tuning fork be? God's word and God's desires and will for our church. That would be that tuning fork. Back in Romans now to close out this morning. Paul just got done with his PS, right? He did all his salutations. He said, oh yeah, and then don't forget this point, right? And he says this words in verse 19. He says, for your obedience has come abroad. Actually, look at verse 18 real quickly. He says, for they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. If you get deceived by somebody who comes in here and starts sowing seeds of discord, Paul just called you simple. Just letting you know. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now we could run into an idea here we're kind of coming to an insert here, where the writer and the literal penman of the book of Romans kind of throws in some thoughts here too, and he says Timothy, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Itaritus, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, and the chamberlain of the city saluteth you, and Quartus, and the brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. And then now here's Paul's actual concluding doxology. He says, now to him that is of power to establish you, that is to what? Make you firm and settled. In other words, the man who can keep us from being divided. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, and according to revelation, the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening
evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.